Well, good evening again. Greet you all in the name of Jesus, the one that gave his life for a ransom for all of us. Thank you, Brother Josiah, for that beautiful story for the children or the teaching. And thank you for the flowers, children. I think we're going to enjoy them. Yes, we love flowers too. Okay? So we thank you for that. Well, like Brother Duane said, this is our third evening. I think there's some people here that were not here the previous two evenings, which is fine. I am glad that you're here tonight. And we feel a little sorry for you that you had to miss the previous nights, but I know it has been a very busy week for y'all, and I just want to commend you for coming again. I think y'all have something going on since Wednesday evening. Somebody said Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So y'all been busy. So I am, just want to commend you for coming again tonight. The title for the message this evening is Kingdom Service to the End of Our Lives. We started on Saturday. Saturday evening we started with dedicating our lives or reserving our lives for kingdom service. And I didn't make it very clear, but it's probably more geared toward young people, which is never too late to reserve our lives for the kingdom service. So that's why I don't like to say this is for youth, this is for adults, or this is for older people, whatever you want to say. But of course, this morning, as we were talking about giving or helping other people without hurting them, that includes all ages. And this evening is kingdom service to the end of our lives. And maybe we think of older people that are getting closer to the end of life, which is normally it is, but we never know when our last day will be. It doesn't matter how old you are. It could be the last day. So this message applies to everybody here this evening. Matthew 24, verse 12, it says, I'm going to read 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I love that verse because it talks about what we want to talk about this evening. Enduring to the end, or kingdom service to the end of our lives. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, that's where we're going to get our text for this evening. And we'll try to get some practical areas. How can I be faithful in kingdom service to the very end of my life? And I really don't know where to start the story here. You will recognize the story pretty quickly in Luke chapter 2. Maybe I just start reading verse 21. Sometimes I do have not a very good habit. I say I don't have time to read the scriptures, for we're not going to take the time, we say. But I'm going to take the time to read the scriptures tonight. Luke 2, 21. This is Jesus has been just born. Verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he shall not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles in the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I'm going to stop reading there. I was impressed with this little story. He talks about two older people. I'm guessing that Simeon was an old man. He didn't quite say it on this passage here, but he said he was ready to depart. So that makes me think that he was an old man. But what I would like to look at this evening is about the prophetess, Anna. It does say that she was very old. It says in verse 36, she was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. I take from that verse that she lived 7 years with her husband. And then in the next verse, he says, verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years. In other words, 84 years she has been a widow. Some people think that that's how old she was at that time. I take it that it was that she was a widow for 84 years. And if she was married for 7 years, that would be 91 plus how old she was when she got married. Sometime in those days, they got married very young. So it would be safe to conclude that she was over 100 years old. Over 100 years old. I don't think anybody here is over 100 years old. I'm not going to even ask you, okay, if there will be somebody here. But the point that I would like to see here in the life of Anna is that she was faithful. She was faithful to the Lord in the kingdom service. How do we get to the end of our lives and stay faithful? I know we could turn to different characters in the Bible, especially the kings. My wife reminded me about the kings in Israel, in Judah. There were a lot of them that started right, and toward the end of their lives, something happened that they went wrong. God forbid that that would happen to any of us. So I would like to just point out a few points of what can we learn from Anna, this old lady that dedicated her life for kingdom service. And hopefully we can apply it to us tonight. The first one I would like to see and point out, if you want to be faithful in kingdom service to the end of your life, we need to learn from Anna. This was an old lady that he says, we're going to get into this. But first one, she had overcome difficulties in life. That's the first one I would like to point out. It says here in verse 37, and she was a widow for about 84 years. 84 years she had been a widow. She had the loss of a husband. They were married 7 years. I don't know what happened to her husband, but he died, and she was left by herself. And apparently she never got married again. And the Bible doesn't say whether she had children or not. It was possibly that she did, but I'm going to assume that she did not. Because the Bible doesn't say that, but I'm just going to assume that that was another blow in her life. Do you know that in the Jewish ladies, to be a childless was a huge reproach? Probably was just about the same as losing her husband, or worse. And my mind went back to 1 Samuel. There was another, that was Hannah. It was not the same Anna, okay? This was many, many, many years before this, prior to this. In 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, you know what Hannah was? I'm going to tell you. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction. Listen, notice what she says. On the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She was asking the Lord for a gift. And whenever she was going to receive it, just like what the children did tonight, he was going to give it back cheerfully. But I just wanted you to notice the terminology that is used here. Because she was childless. She was in bitterness of soul. She was affliction. Rachel in Genesis 30 verse 23, it says she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. Elizabeth in Luke 1:25, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So I'm going to assume that Anna did not have children. She loses her husband. Only married 7 years. She is childless. Remember, the Bible doesn't say that, but we're going to assume that. So she's dealing with all these reverses in life, these blows of life, difficult things in life. And just think about all her years, all that she has seen in Jerusalem through all these years. We don't have a whole lot of history, but secular history teaches us that she probably would have seen the rise and fall of 6 Judean rulers. Until Pompey, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I'm going to call him Pompey, Roman general, conquered Judea in behalf of Roman Empire in 63 BC. One occasion, Janaeus was officiating in the temple as priest and king. He wanted to show his contempt for the Pharisees, so he poured out a libation at his feet instead of on the altar as prescribed. The people pelted him with citrons that they were carrying in honor of the feast. Soldiers were called, and before order was restored, 6,000 people were killed. Now, think about it. Anna is living through all this turmoil, all this upheaval. Anna also recalled when Pompey entered Jerusalem and found the temple being used as a military fortress. Apparently, the temple was built in such a massive way. Listen to this. This general, this Roman general, it took him 3 months to break through the temple walls with battering rams. Once inside, he slaughtered the officiating priests and 12,000 other Jews that were confined to the temple. Anna remembered with horror how Pompey profaned the Holy of Holies by entering into satisfy his curiosity. Her worship would also have been periodically disturbed when Herod the Great began his extensive work on remodeling the temple. Did she go through a lot of turmoil? Absolutely, she did. She had gone through the mill, we say. And as you don't want to downplay difficulties in life, difficulties in life are real. If you have never faced a difficulty in life, you better get ready, because they're coming. It's not whether they will, but it's when they will come. They will come. And maybe some of you are going through difficulties in life. I don't know. But difficulties are real. How do we respond to these things? How do we respond whenever reverses in life? Maybe it can be a broken courtship. Maybe it can be a broken engagement. Maybe it can be a death of a loved one. Like in this case of Anna, she lost her dear husband of 7 years. He was gone. Maybe we can see a little insight on what goes into a mother's or the lady's mind whenever they cannot have a child. There can be all kinds of things. It can be a dramatic accident. All of a sudden, you probably heard the tragedy we had at Dublin not long ago. Brother Jay's son was killed in a farm accident. 10 years old. Never that morning we would have thought or went through our minds that something bad was fixing to happen. And tragedy struck in a real and dramatic way. Let me tell you, those are some blows that we can barely make it through. But if you want to be faithful in kingdom service, I want you to tell you that you need to work through those things. You need to work through these things. Somebody said difficult things come to our lives not to make us bitter, but to make us better. Remember what Hebrews 12:15 says. Let's go there. Hebrews 12. Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The devil is going to try to make you bitter. The devil is going to try to make us think that we deserve better. And consequently, we can become bitter. You probably know stories of people that have faced difficulties in life and they have become extremely bitter against God. I recall a story in Central America. There was a secretary of the eye doctor. And for some reason, I went with my father that day to see the eye doctor. I believe he had an appointment to see him. And the secretary, she had only one child. And I remember the story. In El Salvador, the king's sport is soccer. And her son, I think he was 8 or 9 years old. He had gone with his uncle to see a soccer match at the stadium of the city. And somebody in their craziness and whatever goes on in those big sport events, he shot a gun in the air, and the bullet landed on the boy's head and killed him. And that secretary, she was so bitter. She was dressed in black all the time for years. And she was bitter against God because she thought if God was real, he would have never allowed it to happen. I don't know what he was doing there, but you get the point. People can become bitter when things like this happen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 10 says like this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And these are the verses that I love. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Do you think Anna felt perplexed? Do you think she felt trouble from every side? Absolutely. Do you think she felt persecuted whenever all these Roman soldiers would come in and destroy the beautiful temple? Do you think she felt cast down? How many times do we feel that way? There's problems in the church. There's problems among our families. And we feel distressed. We feel perplexed. We feel trouble. But we should never fall in despair. I believe that if you want to come to the end of your life and be found faithful in the service of the King, one of the keys that you will have to go through is to accept, not necessarily understand, but accept the sovereignty of God wherever He takes you through. Work through those problems. Don't cover them up. I have seen many people that have faced trouble. They have faced maybe even sin in their lives. And what do? Instead of fixing it, they cover it up. And they go through extensive maneuvers to just cover it up so nobody will find out. And destroys them. How can they serve the kingdom of God whenever they try to cover their own problems? It doesn't work. Romans 5 verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory, listen, in tribulations. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Anna found the key. She worked through her problems. She resigned her life for the kingdom service amidst all the difficulties. Number two. Takes me to the next point of Anna. She had reserved her life for the service of the kingdom. That's number two. She had reserved her life for the kingdom of the service of the kingdom. It says there in Luke 2, verse 37, 38. Verse 37. She departed not from the temple. She departed not from the temple. That's all it says. What was she doing at the temple? We don't know. I don't know what she was doing. Was there some kind of particular job that a prophetess could do? Did she have a specific job there? Or does it simply mean that she was always there whenever there was a Bible conference? Whenever there was a revival meeting, she was there. Whenever you have meetings, can we count on you being here? Well, he might show up, he might not. What kind of servant is that? 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. I'm going to just read a few verses there in 1 Timothy. Paul is giving the instruction to Timothy how to deal with widows. And he says in verse 3 of 1 Timothy 5, honor widows that are widows indeed. Verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. Ah, that's a very good description of Anna. 1 Timothy 5, verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. And this is a verse I want. Verse 10. Well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have began to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. The point I would like to make here is these widows, they have dedicated their lives to the service of the kingdom. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 16. This is not a widow anymore. This is a brother in the church that it gives a description here. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 through 18. First Corinthians 16, verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Did you catch that? They had addicted themselves. Verse 15. Had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We always think of addictions as something negative, and rightly so. I mean, we say people that are addicted to nicotine or alcohol. Dictionary says addicted is a strong and harmful need to regularly have something, such as a drug, or do something, such as a gamble. But it always means this. It also means a unusually great interest in something or a need to do or have something. Do you get that? It's an unusually great interest in something or a need to do or have something. Are you addicted to the ministry of the saints? Are you addicted to the service of the kingdom? Sometimes I have to scratch my head. You know, we like to preach to the young people that they need to dedicate their lives. They need to reserve their lives for the kingdom service. We like to do that, right? What kind of example are we to the young people as we older ones? Can we show to the younger ones that the kingdom work is exciting? I was blessed with what Brother Duane said. He's fixing to go to a week of meetings, but yet he said he enjoyed being at Bible conference. Hope you catch that. How many times do we have to go to church and say, boy, oh boy, we got to go listen to that preacher again? Boy, I wish we would have a big congregation. That way we can sneak out the back door and nobody will know if I was there or not. And the children are listening. And the young people are listening. How about whenever it's your turn to have school devotions? I don't know if you, brethren, take turns to have school devotions or not. You should hear the excuses that come. You should hear them. They are funny. Some people say, well, I took off yesterday. I took off the last week. We couldn't work, so I had to work this week. I can't go. What kind of addiction do you have? Are you addicted to the service of the kingdom? We said last night, that it's a high calling. It's a holy calling. It's a heavenly calling. And we're dragging our feet. What kind of calling do we have? What kind of excitement do my family see whenever I have to go and preach at Tyrone? Do they see a bunch of complaining? Do they hear a lot of complaining of the hundreds of miles that we got to drive?
Or whenever it's your turn to have devotions at jail. Man, I just had devotions. It was a month ago, but it's your turn again. But I just had devotions. Or a topic at church. Why can't they ask somebody else to do this topic? I can't do this topic for nothing. I hate to sit down and study anyway. I'd rather play me a round of Rook or something with you, the young fellows. But man, I got to study for the topic on Wednesday. Woo! Yeah, the deacon called me and said that the preacher needs a place to stay. Well, he put another meal schedule for another family that just had a baby. Well, next week is the church-wide offering, and we got to give again. Does it sound cheerful giving? Does it sound exciting? Does it sound addiction to the ministry of the saints? I don't think so. We want to preach to young people. That's what I told you already. But what kind of example are we showing to them? Are we making it look like the kingdom work is just a notch above cleaning the chicken barn? Where are the Annas today? The Stephanas. Anna said that she departed not from the temple. And guess what? I guarantee you that she did not have to be there. She wanted to serve. Stephanas, he found delight in serving the saints. The love of God just spills over and blesses others. Remember the jars this morning? The one jar that kept spilling out? That's what it should be. The love of God should be keep flowing from us. Anna could have been a very bitter person. How many times we find bitter people? We work for different people, and they're just bitter at life. Something happened. Some bad thing happened to them. And I just, my heart goes out to you. If you have experienced some kind of hurt, some kind of offense, some kind of bad experience, whatever it is, believe me, my heart goes out to you. But you need to work through it. Life is too short. Life is too short to go through life. This 84 years of Anna. Life was too short for her to be in bitterness all those years. We have to find victory. Whatever you have to do, call them the elders of the church. Pray for you. Talk to somebody. You have to find victory because there is victory in Jesus. Anna could have been like that jailed up jar this morning. She has seen, but she has seen and accepted the hand of God in all this. And she has found the sweet communion with her Heavenly Father. Isaiah 57 verse 15, I love that verse. It says like this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one, the one that inhabiteth eternity." Can you imagine? We can't even grasp that kind of habitation. Of God inhabits eternity. He indwells in the entire eternity, and it's not even entire because there's no end to it. We can't even describe eternity, but that's what he inhabiteth, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. But you know what? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Anna found that. Anna found that if she was broken before the Lord could dwell in her. And she was a vessel that God could use. How about us? Remember, we are on the point of reserving our lives for the service of the kingdom. That's what Anna did. Whenever we serve, don't expect anybody to come and pat you on the back and tell you how good of a job you did. We like that. We do. And we probably should once in a while. It doesn't hurt. We need to be careful, but don't do it just to expect that. Luke 17, verse 9, Jesus tells a story of a servant, of a master that went to working at the field. And he said, he comes in, the servant comes in from the field. Which master, he says, is going to, does he tell him, sit down and eat first, and then you can serve me, because you're tired? No, it's his servant. He said, prepare my table, get me something to eat, and then you can get something to eat. And then at the end he says, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And Jesus says, I trow not. In other words, I don't think so. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And how are we going to do it? Grudgingly, dragging our feet? No. We're going to do it cheerfully. We try to teach our children that obedience is not obedience until you learn to obey cheerfully. I mean, we have to make them do what they got to do, right? Dragging their feet or not. But that's not complete obedience. Well, what kind of example am I giving to them? How am I obeying God? How am I supporting the church? These are tough questions. How can we apply these to us today? Faithful in where God has called you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I think we were close there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. Faithful. Remember, Anna was there. She departed not from the temple. She was faithful. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best thing, the best gifts, and ye shall, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And he starts going into the charity chapter. My point is, be faithful where God has called you. The previous verses over there, it talks about the body, the body of Christ, and he compares it with our physical bodies. Just because the hand is not the foot, the hand is not part of the body, he says, no, it's part of the body, but has different functions. I would look pretty funny trying to walk with my hands. Right? I would look very funny trying to eat through my ears. But yet we know this is so true, but yet we act that way in the church. He said we reorganize and, that man got to be the superintendent again, and I never do get that job. Maybe you are in 2 or 3 committees already, but I want to be superintendent, and they never put me there. Faithful where God has called you. And I didn't know where to bring this out, but in our older age, wouldn't it be neat to have school teachers that are mature and seasoned in life? That would be pretty neat. We entrust our children to young people, which is fine. I'm willing to do that. But wouldn't it be wonderful to get some older man that has been through life, that has worked through bad experiences in life and has come out like shining gold, and he's just ready to teach the little ones. So there is an opportunity. Brother Dennis Martin, you remember, he had revivals here over a year ago. Share a little story there in Dublin. We just had him for revivals at our congregation. That's why he is very fresh in my mind. But he shared a little story of a man in Quebec. I don't know what year it was, but he mentioned that it was his job to ring the bells at his church every Sunday morning. and he did his job of ringing bells without missing a Sunday for 52 years. Faithfulness. I guarantee you he wasn't a Mennonite that travels all the time. He was there for 52 years. That's amazing. Amazing that he did that for 52 years, ringing bells. Huh. And we complain. Let me tell you this. To me, it's so refreshing to see and talk to older people that have been through life. I would love to see it and talk to Anna at the end of her life and just ask her what she went through. How was it whenever those Roman soldiers came and all those Jews that were in the temple? Can you imagine the noise? Where were you? Well, she probably will have a pretty wild story. She was hiding in a cave somewhere and couldn't find her. She knew all the little nooks and places in the temple where she could hide. I don't know where she was, but it would have been so neat. My point is, it's so refreshing to see and talk to older people that have been through bad things in life and have come through those. In humility, in brokenness before God, and they can tell you, listen, whenever you are in those situations, the best thing you can do is just break down before God and submit your will to God and accept it. I don't know what else to tell you, they say. Ah, neat. Thank you. It recharges my batteries whenever I do that. So I see some people with gray hair here. I don't mean that derogatory way. I love that, to see older people that have been where I am right now. And I don't know how in the world you got through, but it gives me hope that we might get through with God's help. Number three. By the way, point number one and point number two were my main points. Work through difficulties and reserve your life. She departed not from the temple. Those are my main points, but I have some more points here. The next one is she fasted and prayed a lot. It said there in the verse 37 that she prayed. She served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Now, I don't know how often that is, but maybe she was like the Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee? He fasted twice a week, he said. I guess it was a custom of the Pharisees, for twice a week they fasted. When was the last time that you fasted? Well, don't ask that question. Okay, let's keep going then. Do you feel like you can't do much in the kingdom of God? Some older people struggle with that. Some older people say, well, I don't know why God has me here. I'm too old to travel. I'm too old to sweep the floor. But what can you do? You know what you can do? You can pray. You can fast. Think about Moses on top of that hill where Joshua and the army were battling. What did Moses do? He lifted up his hands, and he said every time he lifted up his hands, the Israelites prevailed. But you know what happened to his hands? They would get tired up in the air. Any mechanics have been working up there. Once in a while, they had to get their hands down, right? That was Moses, and he could hardly keep his hands up. So he would bring him down, and then the other enemies would prevail. So Aaron and Hur, they get there a stone, and they sit him down, and they help him prop his hands up. That way Joshua could prevail. Who's going to do that this week? Well, brother, Joshua Dwayne Whitmer is going to be out there in the battlefield. Who's going to be the Moses and the Aarons are going to lift up your hands in intercession for him as he is in the battlefield, in the thick of the battle? 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore the first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. When was the last time that you pray for the local mayor? When was the last time that you pray for the sheriff department? When was the last time that you pray for the president? They need wisdom. A lot of these people are proud. They're never going to bow their knees before the Lord and ask wisdom. So who's going to do it for them? Who's going to intercede for them? Who's going to bring these cases to the throne of God? If you and I don't do it, it's going to be undone. Anna was serving God with fasting and prayers. That's one thing you can do. Number four. This might surprise you. I'm kind of reading a little extra on it, but I think it's true. Number four, she studied the Holy Scriptures. You know why I tell you that? Because after she saw Jesus, she spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. It gives me the idea that Anna was part of the Bible study group that were studying about the coming of Messiah. The enemies were controlling their territory. And I bet you, I guarantee you, that Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, they had it memorized. It says like this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I bet you they repeat that verses every day. They were looking forward to the day the Messiah would come and restore the kingdom of God. She studied the Holy Scriptures. In 1 Peter 1 verse 9 and 12. 9 through 12, you can see that the prophets were digging diligently. When are these things going to come to pass? And I guarantee you that Anna was one of them. She had an interest. She knew that something better was in the horizon. There was something better to look forward than just the Roman Empire ruling over them. Well, I'm probably just going to let it there. As we think about this, what kind of Bible students are we? Whenever I was young, I thought it would be so neat to dedicate a week or just studying the Word of God. Go to some kind of cabin where there's nobody else and you dedicate your life to the Lord. It would be so neat to do it. And you know what? Whenever I was a teenager, I thought maybe when I'm in my 20s, I'll get to do something like that. I got to my 20s, I thought maybe whenever I get 30, I'll do something like that. And you know what I say now? Maybe whenever I'm a grandpa and an old man, I'm going to do that. And I never get it. You see my point? We need to be studying the Word of God right now. Get the chances that you can to study the Word of God. We have so many tools now these days. We have a PMC website. You driving down the road, what can you do? Well, you can listen to all kinds of sermons. 3-4 sermons per day. It won't hurt you, I promise you. It won't give you headaches either. You might fall asleep, but it's not going to hurt you. Growing up, we always had a little motto on the wall, little green motto on the wall. It was in Spanish, but I will translate it for you. Lord, give bread to the hungry, and give hunger of thee to us that have bread. We have plenty to eat, but we all need a hunger for righteousness. Let's learn from Anna. Number five, she was anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. She was looking forward to the day that Jesus was coming, and that day was right in front of her. She came at that time, he said, and she gave thanks. She was and she talked to people that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. How about you and I? Are we looking forward to the coming of Christ? Titus 2 verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And we can read many verses about that hope, about looking forward, about expecting it, and what manner of lives we need to live as we look forward to that day. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction. Can you imagine Paul, all that he went through? I mean, incredible beatings. He was cold many a days. One time they had to drop him down in a basket at night. He didn't know when he was going to hit the bottom. And whenever he hit the ground, he hit it running. We don't know what afflictions are, but Paul says this is a light affliction. He said, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whenever tragedy comes to our lives, you know what happens? All of a sudden, the things of this world, that Saturday that bad accident happened to Brother Jay's boy, all of a sudden, everything that we were doing, we were having a family get-together, the business, everything just kind of vanished away. There was no important anymore. All of a sudden, we are faced with a thought, the eternal weight of glory. Are you anticipating the arrival of the Lord Jesus? And number six, she recognized Jesus. He says, whenever she came in, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. How come she recognized him and most religious people did not? You know why? Because she, Anna, lived for him. She was busy in kingdom service. She was looking forward. She had been studying the scriptures. And somehow or another, she probably connected Isaiah 9 verse 6 that morning. Unto us a child is born. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are you walking in the light? You want to be faithful to the end of your lives? Guess what? You need to be walking in the light, not in darkness. And the last one, number seven. She told others. Says and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I assume that she had a Bible study. And whenever she saw this is Jesus, she was, I don't know how she walked and ran the old, poor old lady. But she went and talked to all her friends. He says, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She knew which ones of her neighbors were looking forward for that redemption in Jerusalem. And she was going to tell them that finally, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Counselor, was here. That Emmanuel had arrived. Mark 5 verse 18, Jesus performed a beautiful miracle there. You remember that man that had a bunch of devils inside of him. And the devils, they asked Jesus if they could go into the swine. And something dramatic happened there. There was about 2,000 swine just running for everything. And they went over the cliff. And the poor people that were out there controlling the swine, they didn't know what to do. They will wave their hands and try to stop him, but there were no stopping for those swines, for the swine. And there they found that man, clothed in his right mind. And whenever Jesus came to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He said, Jesus, can I go with you? If you are that kind of powerful God, nobody, listen, people have tried to help me. People have put chains around me and it didn't work. They put me into the isolation, confinement in the cemeteries. And it didn't work. But you just came and spoke something. I didn't even remember what you said, but I'm different. Can I go with you? And you remember what Jesus told him? He said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And I want to tell you something, that this man was not complaining that it was his turn to have devotions again at the synagogue. He was glad to share God's word. He was happy to be at revival meetings again. And whenever the pastor told him, hey, brother, who, whatever his name was, can you give your testimony again? He was on his feet like that. He said, yes, sir, I'll give a testimony for the Lord. Can you go to Tyrone to preach? He went, and he was excited about it. Brothers and sisters, we need to be excited. We need to be dedicating our lives. If you want to be faithful, if you want to be found faithful when Jesus comes back, don't wait till you're 25. Don't wait till you're 30. Don't wait till you're 40. Don't wait till you're 100 years old to be faithful. This could be our last day, and we need to be found faithful in what we are doing. Maybe it's just ringing the bells at church every Sunday morning. Do it faithfully. Do it cheerfully. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will Jesus find me faithful whenever he comes back? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father,